Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-727-2828. Actually, that's our order line. Please call 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'll call now, 1-800-677-9377. We encourage you to call that order line also. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, every time a person is saved, they come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. They respond to that great gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're made alive. They are declared to be children of God. They are declared to be righteous. They become new creatures in Christ. And they're issued a set of armor. And that's what Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, what this armor is supposed to do for us and how we are to fit ourselves with it and to put on this armor. So he says in verse 11 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. God knows what's going on out there in the world. He knows about Satan. He knows what Satan is up to. He knows what Satan's schemes are. And he's already fully prepared us to stand against those schemes. And it's called the armor of God. There's six pieces of this armor that Paul talks about. There's the belt of truth. There's the breastplate of righteousness. There is the gospel of peace that readies our feet. There is the shield of faith. There's the helmet of salvation. And there's the sword of the Spirit. That's the armor of God. And we have been issued that as children, as God's children, and we're encouraged, admonished to put it on. Sometimes we like to go out there in the world without the armor. That's when we get in trouble. But God says, put that armor on each and every day. And I love how he starts this description of the armor. He starts with the belt of truth. And I think that's significant because it really ties back to Jesus' words to the Pharisees. You know, if you will abide in my word, then you will be my disciples, and you will know truth, and truth will set you free. Truth is the central part of this gospel message. Why do we believe Jesus? Because he's the truth. Why do we stand where we stand as far as the grace of God is concerned? Because it's truth. And so this truth is what holds every other aspect of the armor in place. And it's important that we recognize that. And it identifies the very nature of this spiritual warfare. Satan is always attacking the truth. He is trying to twist it, to pervert it, to do anything in his power to get us to believe lies. That is the nature of this warfare. So of all things, gird yourself with the belt of truth. Live it out in day-to-day life. I think that's a great place to start.
You bet. This is Basic Gospel. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of room for you. We would love for you to be a part of this edition at 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Houston, Texas, and talk with Ronald, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Ronald.
Yes, how you doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you today.
No problem. I want to explanation in Hebrews chapter 10.
Okay.
Verse 26 and 27.
Okay, so what exactly is your question about that verse?
I want y'all to explain. I know what he's talking about, but I want y'all to explain that verse, those two verses.
Okay. We certainly will do that, Ronald, and certainly appreciate your question. Richard, how do we explain this passage? It's a scary passage when you read it just on the surface. Mm-hmm. But what does it mean? Is he talking to believers? What's the nature of this passage?
Well, like all passages, and especially the scary ones, you've got to put them in the context of the whole passage. And the context of this chapter 10 is about Jesus and the fact that he is the once and for all perfect sacrifice, and he took away sin. And he restates the new covenant in short form, and he says in verse 18, where these have been forgiven, that is, our sins have been taken away by God, where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. And so, in that context, we should hang together. We should fellowship together, build each other up in the faith, and continually work with each other to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Well, then you're going to come up against people who won't do that, who just won't believe that Jesus has forgiven sin, that there is no more separation between God and me on the basis of sin. The only thing that's separating me from sin is my unbelief, or separating me from God is my unbelief. And so if I deliberately keep on sinning, if I deliberately keep on disbelieving that Jesus has provided everything that he has provided, there's nothing left for me. All I have is judgment to look forward to, and it's properly scary to think about that. But this isn't about, oh man, you know, I slammed my car, my hand in the car door and said a bad word. That's not about deliberately sinning. This is about heart stuff, the core attitudes of who we are and our attitudes toward God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Belief and unbelief.
Belief and unbelief.
So this is a passage really directed toward
unbelievers,
those who have rejected Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not going to accept his once-for-all sacrifice, they're going to go back to... Yeah, these Hebrew folks are going to go back to the blood of bulls and goats. And as he said at the very get-go of this chapter, that blood can't take away sin.
No.
So if it can't take away sin, then all you have left is judgment.
Yes.
That's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, it is. And this shows what happens when people are kind of play-acting. They're faking it. They're showing up at church or a small group or whatever, and they wear the right mask and the clothes and all of that stuff, but inside it's not real. This isn't talking about
right.
someone who's never heard of Jesus before. This is the person who's faking it.
And that's what it says in verse 26. It says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, so it's saying that they already know that they already received the truth. They know God, you know, but they continue to live the same lifestyle.
It's not a lifestyle issue. It's a belief issue.
Yeah.
If they're not fundamentally accepting Jesus as Savior, then they are in a constant state of sin.
Yeah. So Ronald, the audience was a Jewish audience, and so
yes.
the apostles took the message about Christ into that audience. Some out of that audience received Jesus, and they were born again. They were made alive
right.
together with Christ.
Right.
Others within that audience said, I'm not following that Jesus guy. I appreciate what's happening in the lives of my buddies and my friends, but I'm not walking away from my Jewish way of life. I'm going to continue to offer up the blood of bulls and goats. I'm going to continue to follow all that Judaism laid out for me. And I'm going to get my identity as a person. That is a deliberate rejection of Jesus. They've heard about Jesus. They've deliberately rejected. They shrunk away from him back to
right,
Judaism.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And that's what it's saying, that they have knowledge
that's
of
right.
the truth, but they still reject.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Okay, I really appreciate the explanation on that passage.
You're welcome, Ronald. Hey, thanks for your call, my friend. Let's go out to San Diego and talk to our friend Lucy, listening to us on the internet today. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm
calling about Ephesians 6:10, and you just described it, and how, you know, we put on the armor of God. I just before your program started, I was looking it up, that particular verse in the Complete Word Study, the New Testament Word Study.
Yes.
And the put on is it's a sense of sinking into a garment, to invest with clothing, literally and figuratively, array clothed with and do have put on, and then it refers to another, to a primary preposition denoted fixed position, in place, time or state, and by implication, instrumentally, that is a relationship of rest, and then they refer to another one, heads in my Greek is terrible, hedzumai, to set, sedentary, i.e. by implication, immovable, and settled and steadfast. And I hear people, and I know that it's not, that this is the way you should look at it, but I hear things like, oh, I didn't put on the armor of God this morning, and I just went through, da-da-da, you know. And then I remembered I have to put on the armor of God. I think that's so wrong. And so someone is misled when they say that.
Well, Lucy, it's part of a theme that Paul uses, not only here in the letter of Ephesians, but also in the book of Colossians and several other places, to take off the old, put on the new. You know, take off those old clothes, put on the new clothes. And the whole point of that is that we, you know, really start to inhabit those clothes, you know, in mind and belief and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think you're exactly right as far as how you're explaining what the Greek says there. This isn't, you know, a daily, you know, there's the armor hanging up in the closet. You know, I got to take my shower and shave, and then I'm going to put my armor on and go out. This is in my thinking, the renewing of my mind. Mm-hmm. I realize that I'm saved. That becomes the helmet of salvation. I think that's why he chooses that that phrase, helmet. Helmet protects the mind. And
right.
So it's the salvation that I have in Christ that I really become familiar with, I embrace in my thinking, and it's that knowledge of the fact that I truly am saved that enables me to stand against the accusations of the evil one.
Right.
That's exactly right. So this is a process. This is all a part of the journey.
Okay.
That we become more comfortable. It's just like, you know, here's this armor and it's kind of tight and you don't bend too well in it and all of that. But as you get used to wearing it, it really becomes comfortable. It's like breaking in a new pair of shoes.
Right.
And I think that's what he's saying here.
Well, I guess my question was then, I was under the impression that when we became born-again believers in Christ, that the armor at that time was ours permanently.
That's exactly right. That's what I said on the earlier broadcast, that we're issued that set of armor on salvation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So those people who
and this has come up a number of times in the groups in which I participate, and when I hear people say that, it's kind of sad, you know.
Well, it gets back down to what am I supposed to do, and I think verse 10 really is the key verse in this whole. In this whole chapter, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This is about Jesus.
Yes.
It's about the fact that he's won the battle. He's already made a public spectacle of Satan and his band of demons. He's already emerged victorious through his death, burial, and resurrection. He's alive, living in us. Let's be strong in him and in his mighty power. It's his mighty power. It's the power of his Spirit that brings truth to our minds, that enables us to know the love of God and to know that if he is for us, who is against us? That's the power of God that infuses us 24/7, 365.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you.
You were welcome, Lucy.
I never doubted that. I was just feeling bad that some people feel that. Like you said, it's hanging up in the closet and you go get it or you're going to get in trouble.
Yes.
You know, so, okay, well, thank you so much.
You're
God bless.
Welcome,
we love you.
Love you too. Always good to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Thank okay. you. I've been a pest this last week.
Not at all. You've been a blessing. Okay. We love it. Yeah. Love
Thank
your
you.
Questions.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
1-800-677-9377. We have time on the clock and open lines. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, let's talk to Bill in Joelton, Tennessee. Hi, Bill.
It's Bill.
Oh, Phil. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Richard.
Yeah. Hi there.
God bless you. God bless you guys.
Thank
God
you.
Bless your show. I really love it. My question, Bob, is where can it? Do you know where I could find a church around the Nashville, Tennessee area that teaches like you guys the New Testament? I'm just tired of going to getting beat up every Sunday at other churches, and I just, you know, just about quit going, and but at the same time, I feel guilty.
Well, Phil, I don't think there's a reason to feel guilty. I know deep within each and every one of us there's a desire to fellowship with like-minded believers. I think that's a God-given desire. That's a desire that God puts inside of us the moment we're saved. We want to connect with other believers. Why? Because we belong to other believers. We're in union with other believers. We belong to Christ. We belong to one another. But there's also this issue of truth. You don't want to go to a church where truth isn't held up you know, as far as what the Bible has to say, as far as what this gospel message is concerned. There's a lot of places that call themselves churches that don't teach the truth of the gospel. They teach the traditions of men. They teach rules and regulations, but they don't preach Christ. So what you're looking for is a church that preaches Christ.
Exactly.
Now, you're probably not going to find one that is going to match up with every point that you have on your list of things that make up a good church. There might be one or two things that, you know, that just don't meet your requirements there. But if there's a group that teaches Christ, that teaches the grace of God, that's a group that you can get involved in. And you can find a smaller segment of that you can really fellowship with and you can really serve. Now, as far as churches in the Nashville area, you know, I don't know of any by name. I have some really good friends that live in the Nashville area. And maybe we can get some information from them as to where they go that we could pass on to you. Would you be interested in that?
I'd be greatly interested in it.
Okay. Well, let me put you on hold, Phil. Let us get all of your information, and then we'll try to connect the dots and send that information back to you, okay?
Thank you, Bob. God bless you.
Hey, God bless you, too. It's great to hear from you.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, you hang on. That's a question a lot of people have, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, where can I find a good church, a good group of people to fellowship with? And you are looking for like-minded fellowship.
Yeah.
You have a belief system. You know what you believe about the gospel. You want that to be encouraged and supported, and you want to be able to contribute back. But if you're at odds with a place doctrinally, it's just going to be a head-butting contest from the get-go.
Yeah.
So you want to find a place that really teaches and preaches Christ, holds him up so that people can be drawn unto him, that is grace-oriented, that recognizes that salvation is by grace through faith, and even the Christian life is lived out by grace through faith. They're one and the same. And if you can find that, then I think that's a place to really jump in, get connected with, and to say in your heart, this is a place that I want to serve. These are people that I want to love and be involved in.
You bet.
Well, let's go to Wilmington, North Carolina, and talk with Doug. Hi, Doug.
Hi.
Welcome.
I had a question about, you know, the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus, the extreme challenges that he gave people, you know, about the law and, you know, how to cut your hand off, if, you know, if your sin causes your hand, or if your hand causes you to sin, your eye causes you to sin. And is this, I understand it from some teachers that this is sort of a bad news, good news thing where he's presenting the law at the extremes and then giving himself as the good news. But my question is really, following and knowing that Christ has paid it all, are we still supposed to kind of set those standards as goals for us to live by, even though, you know, I know we don't live under the law, but, you know, those things of holiness, of, you know, not holding hate in our hearts or lusting after someone in our hearts, or, you know, is that still a standard that we need to seek to follow, even though we're never covered in grace?
Well, God has never called us to follow a standard. Of course, there was the Mosaic Covenant, but that was a contract basically between God and the people of Israel. It was a national thing. God, from the very beginning, has always called us to a life of faith. He wants us to trust Him, to abide in Him, to rely upon Him. That's what He's always calling us to do. And so what He wants us to do is to follow Jesus. And when He says that in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, He's not saying to follow His example or to have Him out in front and you're, you know, a few steps behind. The word follow really means to be engaged with Him, to have faith as a way of life. That's what that word actually means. And so Jesus wants to set the stage to help us understand why that's the only way to true life. Rules and regulations, following standards, aren't going to lead to real life. Why? Because we have heart problems. We have heart issues. No matter how good we try to be, there's always evil right there with us. Paul talks about that in Romans 7. So I don't think Paul or Jesus is saying, here's the standard. I want you to live out this Sermon on the Mount. I think that's more damning than the Mosaic Law. But He is saying that if you're poor in spirit, if you've come to that point where you recognize your bankruptcy, then yours is going to be the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because you're ripe to receive what Jesus offers. And I think you go through all of that and you realize He's talking about where we need to be in order to truly receive all that He is as far as His life in us. So, Doug, walk by faith, be led by the Spirit. Let that faith and being led by the Spirit be expressed in love. That's what God's interested in. You hold the line. We'll get some more information to you.
And thanks, everybody, for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. A reminder that we are indeed a listener-supported ministry dependent upon those of you who derive benefit from this broadcast to keep Basic Gospel on the air by your prayers and your financial support. As a way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount today, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, for you. That's for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. That's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. To stay up to date with late news about the ministry's upcoming conferences and other events, and for information about new resources to aid your understanding of life in Jesus Christ, well, join our email list. You can do that simply by clicking subscribe in the upper menu at our homepage, basicgospel.net. A reminder, too, that all the resources that we talk about on Basic Gospel are available through our website at store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.